This is Bob Fetrakis with The Other Side of the News, brought to you by thefreepress.org. WCRS Community Radio 98.3 and 102.1. This is Bob Fetrakis with The Other Side of the News. I'm here with Mary Jane Borden with the Ohio Rights Group. And what is the Ohio Rights Group advocating?
We advocate for the right of eligible residents within the state of Ohio to make therapeutic and industrial use of the cannabis plant.
Therapeutic, do you mean medical marijuana? Is that what we're talking about when you're talking about the cannabis plant? And what's the term therapeutic mean?
Therapeutic is probably slightly more encompassing term than the term medical. Medical marijuana is a common vernacular term, but in truth, it is a really very narrow term to describe certain uses of marijuana or its constituent properties. Therapeutic takes it just a little bit beyond the traditional bounds of medical, being connoted with the FDA and FDA-approved clinical trials, to encompass other uses of the plant that might not be able to either meet the FDA standard in terms of, you know, the cost, or things that might fall, you know, outside maybe the standard FDA-approved uses of the plant.
And if I'm correct, your group is seeking a initiative to put on the ballot in Ohio, which would allow people to use therapeutic marijuana. That's when we're talking about cannabis and industrial use of cannabis. So the first part, is that similar to what they've done in Michigan?
I believe Michigan is simply a medical state, if you want to call it that. Again, I think the better term is therapeutic. Irrespective, it had passed a medical marijuana initiative. I think it was in 2008. And it was, I think, much more of a narrowly tailored effort than what we're trying to use, because it simply gave the ability of a patient or resident of Michigan to use medical marijuana, but didn't actually give them the right to use medical marijuana, which are really two different things.
Explain that. What do you mean they're two different things?
Well, for example, there was a guy in Michigan who was, they saw him flash his medical card, actually, on a TV station, kind of in a news show. He flashed his medical card, and he's a legal state. He's allowed to use it. But when his landlord or the person who owned his house saw him do that, they kicked him out of the house, because I think that there's certain statutes. I think some of these are federal, but they're administered by the state. Forbid the use of drugs, so to speak, in public housing. And so, he did not have the right to use that. He was given permission, essentially, kind of decriminalized sort of way, to use cannabis, but he had no right to use it, and therefore that gave the state the ability to just say, you're out of here. You know, I mean, housing we would think would be a right, but it's not. You know, it's not a right until we say that, you know, it is our right to possess this within this house, and therefore you can't kick me out of it.
Does your initiative address that directly? Would I have the right to use therapeutic marijuana in my residence, whether I owned it or not?
That's the difference, is because we actually give people not only the decriminalized ability to possess marijuana, we're not going to arrest you for it, in other words, you actually have the right to use it. Therefore, it's a much bigger difference, because now with the right to use it, I can use it. You know, there's those caveats aren't hanging on there anymore that prevent me from doing it in that way.
We're talking with Mary Jane Borden of the Ohio Rights Group. Now, when we look at these issues, recently in Washington and Colorado, voters simply legalized marijuana. why are you focusing on therapeutic use of marijuana and industrial hemp as opposed to what happened in Washington and Colorado?
Well, first of all, we found that Ohio voters are very conservative. They tend to be older, and this just general use is less acceptable to that voting population, that particular segment of the population. So that proves to be an obstacle when you're trying to get this before the voters and get it before get it made legal in terms of even other uses. So we approach this from the standpoint not of just like a medical, a plant type thing, but what you're going to use it for, okay? And so what were you going to use it for, in our view, that I think are the first and foremost and most important things, are the therapeutic uses, and then the uses of the plant also for what we call industrial hemp. We call them industrial uses, but a lot of people know that under the vernacular of hemp. And those uses would be for your building materials, fuel oil, even some foodstuffs can be made from hemp. And actually, the hemp plant is a source of some very, very healthy foods. So it takes it in terms of framing it, in terms of just having able to possession it, and in terms of not getting arrested for possession of it, where our amendment would give those who are made eligible the right to make use of the plant under these particular circumstances.
For many years, people advocated industrial hemp. You can't get high off it. It doesn't have the THC and other things necessary to get high. But they would say, like, food, fuel, fiber. Make clothes out of it, right? Paper. Why would you combine essentially industrial hemp, which isn't necessarily medicine, although certainly you've pointed out oils and food products that are useful can come from hemp. Why would you combine that with therapeutic marijuana, which could in fact get somebody high and serve in other capacities as medicine, painkillers?
Well, it's because it's a whole plant. We're not talking about two different plants here, or three different, or 10 different plants. We're talking about one plant that could have 50,000 uses. And so it's just taking this one plant this plant has been so much of a source of political contention over the last 50 years that it's been segmented off. All uses have been segmented off. Mm-hmm. You know, for its therapeutic value, it's been segmented off to the FDA. And unfortunately, the powers that be can't see that there's different uses for the same thing. I mean, I kind of use the analogy. It's going to sound silly maybe. But, you know, take the dog. This is your simple dog, your family dog. Now you have the Great Dane. Okay, and you have the Chihuahua, and some people say, how can that be the same animal? Well, you know, they're all dogs. You know, you don't want your Chihuahua pulling your sled, but that doesn't make it any less of a dog. And, you know, if you want to, you know, you have a dog that can sit in your lap, you don't want that necessarily to be the Great Dane. But different dogs have different uses. You know, there's those field dogs and there's working dogs and things like that. And so I think that's what we're looking at here. Let's analogize that back to the cannabis plant. We have one plant here, one plant, but it has a variety of uses. It can get really big like a Great Dane and produce hemp and fiber and things like that, or it can be small like a Chihuahua and you can have it sit in your lap and, you know, you can pet it, and that's very therapeutic. And so I think that's kind of the analogy that we're looking at here. One plant with many uses, many different varieties.
Many people or critics will argue that people talk about therapeutic or medical marijuana, it's a backdoor to legalize marijuana for all people. Is that true?
So silly, because how could it be a backdoor? Because it is so prevalent in our society. Something like 50% of all people have
come in the front door. Is that what you're saying?
Came in the front door. It came in the back door. It came in the windows. It came down the chimney. It seeped in through the basement. You know.
So in Ohio, we would join other states. How many states have therapeutic or medical marijuana?
I think it's 19 at the moment.
So 19 out of the 50 states. Two have legalized marijuana. How would this be regulated?
Our amendment proposes a commission, and I think that this is really the wave of the future, is that, marijuana, cannabis, I think it's going to be a billion-dollar industry, multi-billion-dollar industry. And Ohio has commissions for athletics, of course, casinos. It has a racing commission. There's the Liquor Control Commission. Boxing Commission. I think we've grown up enough, if we're a billion-dollar industry, to have our own commission.
And this commission, it would be the Therapeutic and Industrial Hemp Commission. It would handle both, or would industrial hemp go to the Department of Agriculture? How would this work?
Well, the amendment proposes an Ohio Commission of Cannabis Control, and then that commission would be governing cannabis for therapeutic use, all right? But the commission also has, written into the amendment, is the ability to delegate certain functions of the commission to other state agencies. And so with the example of hemp, the amendment delegates the regulation of hemp to the Ohio Department of Agriculture.
Now, listeners of this show may have read that there were already a couple proposals out there for medical marijuana. Why another one? And this one expanded to include industrial hemp.
Well, I think you just said it right there. This one, we had, this is ironically our third draft of an amendment to the Constitution, and the first one, actually, I was very proud of. It was one that set up a regulatory model for cannabis in Ohio. I think it's still valid. I think the concepts that it laid forth are still valid. I think that that's something that when a commission of cannabis control is implemented, that it would want to look at this actually unfortunately rejected proposal, because it does lay out an industry. All right. Then the commission, when it is formed, doesn't have to sit there and invent the wheel. A wheel has already been invented, and that was the first our first draft. Well, unfortunately, that was about 31.
Now, was this a draft, or was it actually filed with the Secretary of State?
It was filed with the Secretary of State. So I guess you're right. It wasn't technically a draft. I think of it as a draft because it never went much beyond that, because when the Attorney General looked at it, he said, well, I'm not really seeing a match here between the summary and the full text. And quite frankly, the text was so long, 31 pages, how could you possibly do that, So, okay, that one was out the window. So then we went back to the drafting board, and this time instead of making it 31 pages, we made it a page and a half, or barely that. And this was where we got the concept of the rights, because so much was happening in the world of cannabis where mm-hmm. rights were being denied people, like I was saying earlier with the guy with the housing, well, it happens with employment. You can't even, there's some hospitals where if you have cannabis or a cannabinoid in your system, they won't even allow you to get an organ transplant, mm. So I think that's where the human rights concept kind of began to float. And that one was submitted and approved by the OAG about this time last year. Today is, January 19th?
Yep.
So about this time last year, that was submitted and approved by the OAG. But, over the course of the year, we've watched what happened in Colorado and Washington, and then we went through the election. We watched what happened there. We certainly are seeing a huge shift in the public perception of hemp. That's all of a sudden become a hot issue. And so when we took a look, we met after the election, we said to ourselves, this is our golden opportunity to redraft this and include hemp and include a few other provisions that were missing from the last version. And we've done that, and so we're about ready to get it out there in the public domain and get it to the OAG and all that good stuff that creates a campaign.
I'm thinking at this point in history, these issues that were once so controversial now seem to be open for discussion in a more reasonable way. Even someone like Pat Robertson, 700 Club, has a more radical position than your group, right? He favors the Colorado-Washington model of of legalization. And I'm always struck by the fact that William Buckley, an arch conservative at National Review, admitted in his autobiography that he liked to take his boat out into international waters so he could smoke marijuana. You're listening to WCRS FM 98.3 and 102.1. This is Bob Fitrakis with The Other Side of the News. I'm speaking with Mary Jane Borden of the Ohio Rights Group, and they're putting a new petition together to put on the ballot, hopefully to collect those signatures and have people vote on the therapeutic, meaning also the medical use of marijuana, the therapeutic use of cannabis, and industrial hemp. Where's your support going to come from? How are you going to raise money? It takes, you know, a few million dollars or so to get signatures to go out there. Do you think Ohio is ready for therapeutic marijuana and industrial hemp?
I think Ohio is ready to lead on therapeutic cannabis and lead on industrial hemp. With regard to hemp, we are at just kind of the perfect place for a vibrant hemp industry. We've got all the farmland. We've got the infrastructure. We've got the freeways. We've got the excellence of the Ohio Department of Agriculture and the Ohio State University Department of Agriculture. And we also have, we're the home of the auto industry. So I think there's so many uses for hemp and such a need in Ohio because, you know, I come from coal country. And the land was over there was just decimated by coal mining. And if we could plant hemp and bring back that land and then also have the benefit of an industrial commercial use for it, I think it's all good.
I thought that land was all going to be fracked instead.
Well, we'll take it after it gets fracked.
Are you saying perhaps the growing of hemp may be a therapeutic cannabis may be a better use for a lot of Ohio land?
Oh, absolutely. I think there's two different kinds of growing. Generally speaking, with a therapeutic use, it's more of a confined space type of, you say we're dealing with different, the same plant, but you know, it's like we're dealing with the Labrador Retriever version of it over here versus the, you know, Great Dane version, you know, so that we're creating a type of a very therapeutic use, which is kind of a different animal. Okay, animal than what's going to be growing in the hemp field. So I could see, for example, vast fields. Like if I drive up 71, right and left, you see cornfields. You could see a field like that that's filled with hemp. I don't necessarily anticipate seeing a field like that filled with therapeutic cannabis because that, as they say, tends to be more of a confined space, very technical thing to produce.
And I'm thinking probably people a little more tempted to go in and perhaps glean some from the crop.
Well, I think that's what the purpose of the commission is, to regulate it and to make sure that doesn't happen. If you have good commission rules, the commission will say this particular field is conducive to hemp growing, but we're not going to allow the growing of the therapeutic version here. That has to be done under different type of structures.
And when you see California, a lot of times that you know, people think about marijuana, they think about smoking it, but all sorts of, you know, therapeutic or medical lollipops, foods, a variety of different methods for delivering the medicine or the therapeutic drug.
Well, that's right. That's another thing that's so wonderful about the cannabis planet is this, it is so versatile. You can certainly, it has been always my theory that the reason that we smoke it is because it's illegal. It's easy to conceal. It's easy to make. There's no particular distillation or anything behind the actual smoking of it. So that's reason why prohibition is the reason why it is smoked. If it were made legal as it was before 1937 with the Marijuana Tax Act, most cannabis was never smoked. It was always in the form of a little bottle tincture.
So you would pinch some into a drink or
you could, in theory. Well, the problem with that, essentially, is that cannabis is, or marijuana is a is fat soluble, and so you could drink it as a tea, but it doesn't activate the same way through your intestinal tract as it would with your taking it in through smoke. Now, actually, smoke, if you want to use another term called inhalation therapy, is a much very efficient way to deliver drugs into the bloodstream. And you'll find that diabetes medications, for example, are delivered as inhalation because it's such an effective delivery mechanism, and that's what makes it so good.
And, of course, asthma or respiratory inhalers.
Right.
Those are there, right, for therapeutic cannabis. Right, do you have ways to deliver through vaporizers or to breathe in?
And I think that once the shackles are taken off of cannabis as a result of prohibition, you're going to see that more because, again, smoking comes because it's so concealable. You don't need a lot of distillation or anything like that. Mm-hmm. You need, with a vaporizer and with some of these other things that are be developed to know better able it to be consumed, you might have to have a little bit more technology behind it.
Okay, say I'm sick. I have a recognized condition. Would I be fired from my job?
Not under our amendment because you would have the right to use it. But you do not, if you don't understand the amendment and you read it, you don't have a blanket right. You have the right to use it, but you don't have the right to put other people in danger with intoxication.
Do I need to go to a doctor and get a prescription?
Now, that's the model that's used in many other states. They try to use the term recommendation, but unfortunately, because cannabis remains under Schedule 1 of the FDA's, not the FDA, but the Controlled Substances Act, they really can't do that, okay? And, I'm sorry?
No, so what you're saying is because of federal laws, doctors really can't prescribe.
Right. That's what I was trying to say. There was
medical marijuana.
Right. They're court decisions to be able to bar them because it's still under Schedule 1 actually writing a prescription. Now, mm-hmm. in theory, if it was rescheduled, prescriptions would be able to be written by physicians. But we decided when we wrote the amendment to take the physician out of the equation because it's an uncomfortable position for them to be mm-hmm. in because cannabis hasn't gone all the way through all these FDA trials. So we just take them out of the equation and say an eligible resident who has a condition can be deemed an eligible resident by the High Commission of Cannabis Control for the purpose of using cannabis. And it's interesting because anybody who goes to the doctor, if you look at the form work that you get back, you'll see what's called these little numbers on it that define your condition. Those are mm-hmm. called the ICD codes, the International Classification of Disease
right.
codes. And so, in theory, you can go in and say to a doctor, Doc, you know, you don't even have to tell him, I suppose, that you were going to participate in the program. You could say, you know, I have asthma or something like that. Mm-hmm. Could you write down that I have asthma and put the ICD code in here and sign it? And there's no doctor that's going to say, no, I refuse to tell you what your diagnosis is or put down the code for mm-hmm. it because you're going to get that anyway when you check out. So we think that that's probably a plausible way that the commission can go about validating that somebody has a condition without actually having the doctor sign a recommendation form, which doctors in many other states, in fact, most states, are really reluctant to do.
Now, will the commission set a list of acceptable diseases? I can't self-diagnose myself, or I can't or grab a condition and say, hi, I have this, hence I get to use this therapeutic marijuana.
Well, the amendment has in it, and I can't remember what the number of conditions is. Let's say 20, 30 of them.
Are those all legitimate conditions from your perspective?
Well,
what would they be? Give me some examples.
Okay, let me tell you about the first four conditions. The first four conditions, which would be multiple congenital cartilaginous acidosis, multiple sclerosis, neopatellar syndrome, and glaucoma were the first four conditions that were admitted to the compassionate IND program that was started by Bush. No, it was started in the, not by, not 1980, I think it was. Maybe
well,
not
Jimmy,
better,
Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, I believe it was under the Carter administration.
Glaucoma goes way back to Jimmy
yeah.
Carter.
So these are four conditions that our federal government has already said, you know, we're going to give you marijuana monthly for the rest of your life if you have one of these, if you these select four few patients mm-hmm. that are left in the program, we're going to get the, those to you for the rest of your life. I would think that would be precedent setting, you know, so it's so that if Irv Rosenfeld has the same condition and I have the same condition that he has, shouldn't I automatically have some little thing there that says that I, you know, why he, not me? Okay, so those lead off our amendment, or those four conditions. Mm-hmm. So those should, first of all, have precedence over any others. And then there are other standard conditions for which research has shown great promise, and it's published research.
Well,
so those have been added,
AIDS
too.
AIDS wasting.
AIDS, and AIDS is one of them.
Nausea
and chemotherapy.
Well, because, you know, I mean, even my mom said that her physician suggested perhaps someone could put her in touch with something she could smoke, you know, and sort of, you know, and her doctor's older and when she was undergoing chemotherapy. So that seems to have been long recognized by the medical community that perhaps the therapeutic use of marijuana when you're undergoing chemotherapy for nausea could be in fact useful. What about digestive? Problem. Crohn's
is in there. Crohn's is in there.
What kind of other diseases would be covered?
Oh, I think ALS, I think, is in there. Tourette's syndrome is in there. Acute chronic pain is in there. I'm going to text in my memory now.
Well, that's okay. You've given us plenty of examples. But I think the key point you're making is that all of these contain medical research that suggests that patients benefit from the use of therapeutic cannabis who suffer from these conditions.
I want to state one other one, and that is post-traumatic stress. That's become a real topic these days with the returning Iraq and Afghanistan war veterans.
Interestingly, I've read reports of the government itself experimenting with ecstasy,
right.
which is an illegal drug for post-traumatic stress disorder.
Right, right, right.
And, you could see how therapeutic marijuana may, in fact, help those with post-traumatic stress disorder.
Well, it's interesting because the VA had actually approved it marijuana's use for veterans, mm-hmm. and then I think they backed down from it.
And again, a lot of that, the politics of marijuana, the whole generational stigma. I think the only reason it's illegal was, first of all, in the 30s, there was too many leftover agents from Prohibition. They had to have a new war. And it was a convenient war against marijuana. And second, the fact that it's still illegal today was the fact that the counterculture, those young people of the 60s with new ideas opposed to the Vietnam War, it was their drug of choice. In the last minute, Mary Jane Borden, what do you want to tell the listeners at WCRS about the Ohio Rights Group?
I just want them to pay attention to this and to our central issue. I think that therapeutic cannabis and industrial hemp are important, very important issues of our time, maybe one of some of the most important civil rights issues of our time because they've been just so denied, so sequestered, and so off limits for any kind of production and use for so long. People are going to jail. We need to get people out of jails. We need to get people heal the sick and really heal the planet.
This is Bob Fitrakis. Thank you, Mary Jane Borden, Ohio Rights Group. Good luck with your petition drive to bring therapeutic cannabis and industrial hemp to Ohio. This is The Other Side of the News.